And I just want to tell you, there's no better place to have your life. It's in His hands. He's got the best plans for us. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, we're going to continue our topic of be still and know that He is God. In Psalm 46:10, this has been one of our main scriptures. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." And we've looked at that, and then we've mentioned this, but in James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And, you know, I can't stress it enough that it's our responsibility to draw close to God. Nobody else can do it for us. We're the only ones who can do it for us. And so we have that responsibility to draw close to God. And the promise is if we will draw close to God, then He will draw close to us. I mean, like, it's going to happen. If you draw close to God, God's going to draw close to you. If you don't draw close to God, He's not going to draw close to you. You can't make it any more simple than that. But we do struggle drawing close to God because we know us. We know how we are without Him and even with Him. And we're afraid that God is going to reject us like everyone else has rejected us. We're afraid that God will see the real us, get to know the real us, and when He does, He'll reject us. But can I tell you something? He already knows the real us. He already does. He already sees the real us. He knows what we have been through. He knows everything that we have gone through, what we have done, what has been done to us. He knows all of that. And the awesome thing is the reason He wants us to draw close to Him so He can draw close to us, because He wants to help us. That's the amazing thing. He wants to help us. He wants to offer compassion, healing, peace, joy, and whatever else we need. But we somehow keep God at a distance. We just think that, you know, we can handle this on our own. And, you know, that fear of being rejected keeps us from drawing close to God. And He's the only one who can really save us completely by bringing us what we need. And when He brings us that, we become whole. But we have to take the time to draw close to Him. And when we become born again, that's just the beginning of our salvation experience. That's just the start of it. That's just the birth of it, being born again. There's more to salvation. There's more to being saved. And God wants to give us that. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this in verse 12, Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." And what I want us to look at is He says for us to work out our salvation. And I, the enemy has lied to us, and we've believed it, that if you get saved, everything's going to be great in your life. Well, no, it's not. It just means that when you get saved, you're born again, and when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But there's a whole lot that God wants to do with us, for us, in us, and through us while we're down here before we die. He wants His glory to be revealed in our lives. There's just so much more that God wants to do, but we have to work out our salvation. And again, that's like drawing close to God. Nobody else can do it for you. You have to work out your own salvation. And by working out our salvation, I believe that part of that is our growing in a greater understanding of the salvation that God has for us, and that salvation that He has provided to us in Jesus Christ. It's growing and maturing in that relationship, that personal relationship with God, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit. And again, that's something that we have to do. Nobody else can do it for us. And as we know in the Scripture, that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but He's also the Word of God made flesh. And part of working out our salvation, part of growing and maturing in our relationship with God's with God means that we have to have a greater understanding of His Word. We have to be able to understand the principles found in it. But then we also have to be willing to obey His Word. If you'll turn with me to James chapter 1, please. We've touched on this before, but I just want to remind you of it. And when we're talking about drawing close to God right now, we're primarily looking at His Word and drawing close by His Word, taking that time to be still and to read His Word, listen to His Word, whatever it is, study His Word, meditate on His Word. But then we have to be willing to obey His Word as well. And there's a lot of people who miss that aspect of it. And I believe that our working out our salvation is coming to the Word of God and putting it into practice. In James chapter 1, verse 19, he says this. James 1:19. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Ooh, how much better life would be if we even did that? I mean, that would solve a lot of problems. Verse 20. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and the rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22, be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And so I want to look at verse 21 in particular, where he says, receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. And so that's our responsibility. That is one of the things that we have to do. And I believe that that is part of working out our salvation. And he says that we're to receive the Word of God in meekness, with meekness. And that means we understand that there's going to be power associated with it, but we're receiving it and we're waiting for that power to be revealed in our lives. And the way we receive the Word of God with meekness, part of it is to be a doer of it. That's why James put in verse 22. Be doers of the Word. Okay, not just hearers, so deceiving yourself. We've got to be doers of it. And so James is wanting us to see the power within the Word of God. And he says when we receive with meekness God's Word, it has the power to save our souls. So our minds are going to change. Our thoughts are going to change. Our wills are going to change. Our emotions are going to change. And the Word of God is there to steady our lives, because there's all kinds of things that happen in our lives. And we need the sure foundation of the Word of God in our lives, and it will steady us. But we've got to know His Word. We've got to get into His Word. You know, you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I have to say this. I have had people come up to me after a message like this, and they'll say, Pastor, I'm not going to read His Word. And I'm like, I can't fathom that. I've had it happen. And on two of those occasions, their lives are shipwrecked. And I can tell you why. Because they didn't get into the Word of God. Troubles are going to come in this lifetime. God's the answer to them. And His Word is the answer for us. And I'm telling you, even now, our minds, we need to have different thoughts. You know, we need to have our will set on the will of God. And that's what Philippians talked about. That God, when we begin to work out our salvation, it's God who's working in us to will, to do His will. When we begin to put into ourselves God's Word, this is how real transformation, real Christ-likeness takes place in our lives. We receive the Word of God with meekness. We obey it. We do what it says. And then it changes us. And so, as hard as you might try, you can never be transformed apart from God's Word in your life and obeying it. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 22. 1 Peter 1:22, he says this, "Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart." Verse 23, "Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but in imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." And so let's just pause there for a moment. And I want us to see this. He says that since we have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And you can put in the word seed there, of imperishable seed. And so when we're born again, the life of Christ is placed in us in seed form. And then he even talks about through the living and abiding Word of God. And so it's the Word of God that gets in us. Okay? But it has power to save us. Verse 24 says this then, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord remains forever." See, we need to see that. We need to get that in our hearts and in our minds. And then he says, "And this word is the good news that was preached to you." But we need to see that the word of the Lord remains forever. So if you want your life to be changed, base it on the word of God and on the certainty of the word of God. Again, I'm telling you, life is going to throw all kinds of things at you, trying to get you off course, trying to get you to give up on God, give up on His Word, thinking that it doesn't work. I'm here to tell you that it works. But you have to stay with it. Okay? And we'll get into that in just a minute. But there is power in the Word of God to transform us. And if you look at the verses before this, you'll see that Peter was talking about the power to be holy by being obedient to the Word of God. In verse 14, "Instead of being conformed to the passions of our former ignorance." And so he's saying, look, don't keep giving in to how you used to live, how you were before you got saved. God has a new life for us, and it's found in His Word. And the Word of God is truth, and that truth is needed in the world today. Think about this. If we have the truth and it's not revealed in us, what does the world get? What hope does the world have? It has none. Because we're the ones who have the Word. We're the ones who are supposed to have the hope. And if we don't have it, if it's not working in our lives, then we can't give that hope away. And I'm telling you, the world needs hope today. They need a major dose of hope. And if you'll look at this, the verses before, Peter mentions all this, and he says, while they were in exile, while they were suffering, this is the mindset that they have to have. While they were being persecuted, Peter's trying to get them to see, this is what you need to do. And again, Peter speaks of being born again through an imperishable seed. And imperishable seed means that it's never going to change. It's never going to go away. Okay? It's staying the same. There's a lot of people that try and change God's Word and try and, you know, play games with it, but we can't. God's Word is true. It's for all time, for all generations. God didn't write His Word based on the culture of that time. It's based on the truth of His principles and how He is. And when Peter speaks of the imperishable seed, he describes it as living and abiding Word of God. Now, for believers, one of the tricks that the enemy uses to convince us the Word of God doesn't work for us, it doesn't change us, it may change others, but not us. He gets us to believe that. We can see it working in other people's lives, but it doesn't work in our lives. And so we think, well, it must not be working. And when we don't see change right away, we think, oh, the Word of God's not working. It doesn't have the power. And the reason that we think that is because we're so result-oriented right now. We want results right now. We want to see things right now. We want to be put in the microwave and boom, we outcome Christ-likeness in our lives. It doesn't happen like that. And yet that's how many Christians live their lives. You start off as a seed form. You go into the microwave and all of a sudden you got popcorn. We want the real. We want the finished product as soon as we come out. It doesn't happen that way. Not with God. We can spend time reading the Word of God, studying it, meditating on it, putting it into practice, and yet we wrestle with the same thing we did before. We think, well, is it making any difference in my life? I'm still struggling with these thoughts. I'm still struggling with this addiction. Whatever it is. Does it make any difference? Yes, it does. Just keep on doing all of that. Keep doing the Word of God. Keep studying. Keep meditating. Keep doing everything that you're doing. Keep obeying the Word of God, because in due time, the proper effects will be seen in our lives. Just because we don't see the results right away doesn't mean that the Word isn't working in us or that God isn't working in us. He is. We have to understand that God works from the inside out. And it takes a while to start on the inside, and then it takes a while to work its way out in the out on the outside of our lives as well. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 4, please. You see, when we draw close to God, we're reading His Word, studying His Word, meditating on His Word, drawing close to Him. When we're doing all of that, God's busy doing a lot of things behind the scenes that we ourselves don't even know about. He's working in us. Even though we can't see it, even though we can't feel it, He's working in us. Okay? So it's our responsibility to keep on doing it. And so if you're in that boat, if you don't think that it's working, if you don't think that it's necessary, if you think that it's taking too long and you're getting anxious and you want to help the Word out, I just want to tell you, relax, stop. Just keep reading the Word, keep studying the Word, keep giving yourself to it, make sure you're obeying it, and it's going to work its way out in your life. And that brings us to Matthew 4, verse 26. And this is Jesus speaking. Mark 4, 26. And He said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." And so this man or this farmer, it could be you and I. It should be you and I. He's talking about you and I. If we're going to put the Word of God into our lives, if we're doing everything that we're supposed to do concerning planting the seed in us, then we're going to see change in our lives. This and that seed, let me just remind you, is a representation of God's Word in us. God works through seed. He plants seed. He gives us seed. Even the scripture that we read about giving, He gives seed to the sower. Okay, He doesn't give you the harvest all at once. He gives you seed. And He watches to see, are we going to be obedient to His Word with that seed? If we are, He gives us more seed. If we're not, He doesn't. That's simple. And we make it so hard. Okay? And so this farmer is planting seed. So But we just have to think about what a farmer does. And being in this part of the country, we should know. He's going to till the ground. He's going to prepare the soil. Then he's going to plant the seed. But then he's going to watch over the field, and he's going to make sure that there's no weeds that are growing up. He's going to take care of that. He's going to fertilize the seed that he has planted. But notice that he lets the seed do what it and the earth are supposed to do. Okay? And, no, you may have to follow me on this. Verse 27 says, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. So he has planted the seed, and then he sleeps. He relaxes. The farmer doesn't go out there and start digging up all the seed that he planted and say, what are you doing? How come I don't see you growing? He leaves it alone. Okay? Part of growing in Christ, part of working out our salvation, is to plant the seed of God, the imperishable seed in us. Keep doing that. Keep being faithful to that. When the weeds come, pull them out. Put on fertilizer. When we do that, then we have to rest. And we have to let it alone. Because it's going to grow in us. Okay? Don't go out there digging it up. Don't go out there yelling at it and cursing at it and say, where are you? I thought I planted you how many weeks ago, how many days ago, how many hours ago? What are you doing? Because he can't see anything. And we'll have that same mindset. And that's a lie from the enemy, that he plays with us. And I love the phrase when it says, he knows not how. You see, our understanding or our need of understanding can sometimes get in the way of the Word of God working in our lives properly. And saving our souls completely, because we think we have to understand what God is doing. No, you don't. You don't have to understand. Matter of fact, the more you draw close to God, the less understanding you're going to find out you really have. And while we may not understand, when we may not see anything happening, notice what is happening to the seed. And again, if we parallel this to us and what God is doing with us in the spiritual realm, we have to know this. Underneath the soil, underneath the dirt where the seed is, the seed has had to die. Okay? When it gets planted, there's pressure from the earth and the sun and the rain, the water. All of that works against that seed to break open the shell. And God does the same thing in our lives. He starts working things in us. Like, I remember, and I've shared this with you before, but it's been a while. I remember praying and I said, Lord, I don't want anything to move me except your word and your Holy Spirit. And for about 2.5 years, my life was hell. Because what I found out was there was a lot of things that were moving me, and it wasn't the Word of God and it wasn't the Holy Spirit. It was me. And I remember, and Diane and the kids had to suffer through all of that, but I remember one day I was praying, and I'm like, God, I don't understand what is going on in my life. And he said, I'm just answering your prayer. And instantly, he brought me back to that moment that I prayed that prayer. And he said, I'm showing you what moves you. And so I repented and I said, Lord, I take that prayer back. But that, you see, we don't, just because nobody else sees it, just because you don't understand, doesn't mean that God isn't doing something. He is. He's trying to break free in us. But we have to let him do all of that. And so the seed is dying and the shell is being crushed. But notice what it says. and the seed sprouts and grows. It breaks through the shell and it starts to sprout and it grows. But guess what? It's still under the dirt, so nobody knows it. Nobody sees it. But God does. He knows what's going on. And the same is true in our spiritual walk with God. He's doing something in us. When He plants the seed into the ground, He is trusting that the earth, this is the farm, He's trusting that the earth and the seed will together do what they're supposed to do. And He knows that sooner or later change is on the way. Even though He can't see it yet, He knows that He's going to see it. And the same is true in our lives. When we plant the Word of God into our lives, we may not see it working, we may not think that it's working, we may not think that it's having a difference, but it's growing. A little sprout, a little growing, but it's all inside. It's all underneath. And as a seed is sprouting and growing, eventually it too will make its way up where the farmer can see it, where we can see it, and eventually everyone else can see it as well. So I want to encourage you to be like the farmer, the person who sows the seed and then relaxes where it's working. And then look with me to verse 28. So remember, under the ground, it's sprouting and it's growing. Now it's up above. It says, the earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And so this is the breakthrough moment, but there's still a process that is taking place here. And it's worth getting excited when you start seeing the first things up. I'm going to have to look and see if I still have the pictures, but I think it was last year or the year before when our farmer planted. I knew that he had planted. Fields looked great. But then when they came up, I started taking pictures weekly of his rows, and you could see the growth taking place. Can I tell you something? This is, again, our microwave mentality. As soon as we see something popping up, we want to see the full thing. They don't bring in the harvest until the end. There's time. It says in here, this is the process. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And I'm here to tell you, we're not going to bypass that process. You're not going to skip over any of those. The farmer, when he plants that seed, when he starts seeing it start to develop, there's a harvest in what he sees now, but he knows the harvest isn't there. So what does he do? He leaves it alone. He watches over it. He fertilizes it. He pulls the weeds away from it and stuff. He does what he's supposed to do, but he lets it grow. And I'm here to tell you, that's what we have to do with our lives. Let the Word of God grow in us. It doesn't come completed once it comes up. It still takes time. And we don't like that. There is a process in us growing in our salvation too. It breaks through the ground, and then we have the blade, and then it grows some more, and then we have the ear, and then it grows some more, and then we have the full grain in the ear, and that's when we know that it's arrived. But there's more to this story. Verse 29 says this, but when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. And so when we have submitted ourselves, even though we don't understand, but we've submitted ourselves to this process and we're allowing God to work in us, because if we don't submit, then we just become frustrated, miserable believers. But we're submitting. And so we're watching all this take place. Once it comes up, the blade and then the ear and then the full grain in the ear. Okay, but then 29 says the harvest has come. And even when you see the full grain, I mean, just think of our farmers around us. You can count one ear of corn when it comes. You can count two. But when they all start coming and they start coming, you can't stop counting. You can't keep counting. There's too many to count. And that's the way the Word of God is in our lives as well. He's saying that if you will give yourself to this process, there's coming a harvest in our lives of Christ-likeness that the world is going to see, you're going to see, and they're going to be able to taste of it. But it takes time. Everybody say time. Because we don't like to take time. We don't like that. We want to hurry up. We want to take shortcuts if we can in the process. And we can't do that with God and His Word. There's coming a day, if you'll continue to do all of this, there's coming a day that the harvest, we get to enjoy it because we have trusted in the power of the Word of God, which starts off in us in a seed form and then works wonders in and through us and for us. And then we have the harvest. And that harvest, guess what? It blesses others. That's the beauty about it. Your life will come to the place where it will bless others. And if we'll keep giving ourselves to the Word of God, not just one or two, but there's a harvest of people that we will be able to bless. And so we have to do our part, drawing near to God by reading His Word, studying His Word, planting it inside of us and trusting that the power in that seed and the power of the Holy Spirit working together in us is going to transform us from the inside out. If you'll stand with me, please. You see, when we take the initiative and we plant the Word of God in us, just as it says that the earth produces, the Holy Spirit's going to work in us. And the Holy Spirit's going to work that seed in us. And it's going to produce a harvest in us. And I just want to encourage you that you can trust God. You can trust His Word to save us completely. There's power in His Word. It's living and abiding Word. And I want to encourage you that God does way more than what we can think or imagine or even ask if we will plant the seed of the Word of God in our lives and let it grow. If we will be faithful to do that, God will be faithful to bring a harvest, not only for our own life and for our immediate family, but for others as well. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the love that You have for us. And Father, I thank You for the process of the blessing of planting Your Word within us. And though it's laborious and takes time, Father, I pray that we would be a people who plant Your Word in us, who allow Your Word to grow and to come to maturity in us. And it blesses us, but it also blesses others. Because we have been transformed by the power of Your Word in us. We have become more and more like Christ. We have and are working out our own salvation with fear and trembling by implanting Your Word within us and obeying it. And we thank You for that. We thank You for that hope. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.